Welcome to National Lewis University's Discover You. My name is Keith Baltimore. Imagine it's New Year's Eve, and the countdown to midnight is about to begin. When the clock strikes 12, you and all of your friends and family are celebrating. The only difference that instead of it being January 1st, it's actually February 10th. In today's episode of Discover You, we're talking to students and a few staff members about what it's like to celebrate Lunar New Year. Many people around the world and the United States celebrate Lunar New Year every single year. It's truly becoming an international experience. So stay tuned and learn why this holiday is becoming a holiday for the world. And remember, this is just have a conversation and just ignore the fact that we're doing this. So cool. So we'll get right to it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn off my video.
Thanks, Keith. I'm Maria Lammy. I'm the International Student Advisor and Coordinator of International Student Services at National Lewis University. And I have three amazing students here with me. I would love to get some introductions from each of these students. So, Qing, would you like to go first and tell us a little bit about yourself and your hometown and what you're studying here?
Thank you, Maria. I'd be happy to. My name is Qing. Full name is Cai Qing. So Qing is my first name and Cai is my last name. In Chinese, we pronounce last name first. And my name, if I pronounce the other way, actually I have to use that in school as Qing Cai. Actually means celery, the vegetable. So I'd rather to say my name is Cai Qing. And I'm from Anhui Province, China. Currently, I'm studying in culinary arts at Kendall College. I have been an international school teacher for 11 years before this. So this is a big career change for me, mainly because my passion for cooking. Thank you.
And June, would you like to introduce yourself next?
Yes. So my name is Jun Xiao, and my family, they pronounce as Xiao Jun. And it actually means, the Jun actually is mean the good horses at China. And actually I'm from the southern part of China, Guangdong, Guangzhou. So actually I can speak Cantonese and Mandarin, and also English, of course. And now I'm majoring at management. So yeah, maybe I hope when I graduate, I can be working in some business. So yeah, that's it.
Saikara, would you introduce yourself? Tell us about your hometown and what you're studying here.
Hi, I'm Saikara Warita. I'm currently studying social work here at National Lewis. I'm from the Philippines, and I'm from the city called Cebu. It's a really big place. There's a lot of mountains. It pretty much has everything. There's a lot of mountains. There's beaches. There's waterfalls. There's a really big city life there, and also province life where I'm from.
That sounds beautiful. Do you have a favorite beach or waterfall or spot in the city that you like to go?
My favorite place would have to be there's this waterfall named Kawasan Falls. It's spelled as Kawasan, and it's a really far place. It's probably 4 hours away, 4 or 5 hours away by car from my house back home. And it's a really long journey going there. And to get there, you also need to climb about 30 minutes before you can get to the waterfall itself. But it's really beautiful and it's all worth it.
Okay, so first, to give our listeners a little bit of background, There are some Americans who might be listening who are aware about Lunar New Year and have heard of it. It's often called Chinese New Year here in the US. And I'm curious what you think about that. Should it be called Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year? And why do you think so?
I think both names are fine. So one is like identified as it's a part of the Chinese culture, and the other one is kind of very educational for people to understand why the new year is different than the new year we just had. So it's we using a lunar calendar. I like both names.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Did anybody recently celebrate the American New Year? Did you do anything on that day, or were you just sitting at home?
I celebrate. This is my first time celebrating New Year not at home, not in my home country. It's the first time, and I think like coming here, I felt that it's really different. Because in the Philippines, New Year is very loud. Everybody has fireworks. Everybody has, trumpets and tambourines, because it's said that if you make loud noises during, the New Year on January 1st, it is said to drive away like bad spirits. And but then people are already loud before the clock strikes 12. And I celebrated with some of my relatives that are here, some of my family. I have some cousins here and some aunties, so I celebrated with them. And New Year is all about like getting together with your family. So since this is the first time I'm not with my siblings and all, so I celebrated it with my family that's here.
Oh, that's really cool. So you actually noticed and you felt that the American New Year was not as hyped up and energetic as the one that you've experienced at home. Anybody else have a New Year's experience or thoughts on the American expression of celebrating New Year's?
I went to a friend's place, house, and for me, I feel it's kind of like Sakara said, it's pretty quiet here for the New Year celebration. It's kind of similar in China because I think I always feel Lunar New Year or Chinese New Year is kind of more traditional, a bigger celebration for family reunions and everything. And there was a period of time when I was living in China, I kind of feel that the new year, the new year 2023 won't start, actually start until the Lunar New Year passed. And I feel like, oh, now it's the new year. But now it's less like that. So yeah, that's a quite interesting experience for me as well.
Okay, so the biggest difference you think too is Lunar New Year is all about family. What were some of your favorite parts of that holiday when you finally got to go back and celebrate it for the first time in so many years?
What's the point? It actually, we got a special stuff. We call it like a money package or like a red package. It always mean the fortune or something, the good wish from elder people to younger people. They put money in it. So it doesn't like Christmas, people like just sharing the gift, like the exchange gift. I think the Asian way is more straight. They just throw you the money. So you like spending stuff, you just get it, buy it. But well, you don't get much at my hometown because they only put a little bit, like 5 or 6 yuan in it. So that just means like good fortune to you, like good wish to you. But like the money is not a key point. But
And can I add on that? When
yeah,
Jun
please.
mentioned the in your hometown in Guangdong, actually, it's a kind of a funny discussion in China about northern and southern traditions in not only food but also traditions like giving red packet. So in northern China, people actually put a lot more money in red packets. In my hometown, people normally give hundreds, like more than 100, but it's all only 100 notes, 100 RMB notes. So it's a lot more. So children are very happy with red packets.
So do you get
Oh my
more,
goodness.
do you get more money each year? Does it increase or is it the same? And what do you do with the money? What do you do? What do you spend it on?
That's a very good question. I would say over the years I get more and more because, for example, like when I was a kid, every relative gave me money, and it's I might seen like 50 before when I was a kid, and then when I get a little bit older, maybe a couple of years later, and everybody's just giving 100 and then hundreds. So yeah, I think with the economy and everything, people getting richer and richer, they give more money in red packets too. What do people do with the red packets? That's a very interesting question. Children, when I was a kid, my mom would say, we'll save it for you. So they take me and my younger sisters red packets away after Chinese New Year, but I don't know where the money is. I think it was just a lie. But nowadays, I think parents actually try to educate their children about money, how to use money, savings, and everything to help them open like a bank account or just, keep a record of the money, and that's their money for spending, buying things they like big stuff like a phone, a laptop, a bicycle, or some toy for younger child. There are different ways. I think it's better than my parents' way.
Well, I never see that money. I never see that money, never touch it. My parents always say, I will save it for you. If they give it back to me, it must be a billion. So they just keep it. And whenever how old you are, like even though you just got like 100, they will say, I save it for you. I said, I don't want that money back. They said, I will give you another 1,000. I don't want that 1,000. I just want that 100 back. No way, I will save it for you. Whenever how old you are.
I was wondering if you know if there's a special process you go through when receiving the red packet, because when I lived in South Korea, the children had to bow a certain way to their, elders, to their grandparents and parents, and they had to say like many New Year wishes to you and do a whole special ritual in order to receive the money. It wasn't like your family members are just handing them the packet. What about you guys?
That remind me some funny part about the Asian culture. So about that, the Chinese people, they because about the Mandarin culture. So if we want something, we cannot just say we want that. If you give me some gift, so I have to thank you or like say I don't want it. Actually, I want it, but I have to say I don't want it. So when they give me that red package, I know like, well, there's cash inside. I want it. I have to say, no, thank you. I don't need that. Ha 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 ha. But like inside me, I'm just feel like, just put it in my package right now.
Yeah, like I want it. Yeah, that's
I
so
want it so
funny.
bad. Just give me. But like my parents just and me, we just say like, ha ha ha, it's not necessary. I don't need it. Yeah. And my body is just like, give it to me. Give it to me right now.
You're being polite, but you're hoping that even though you've refused it, they're still going to give it to you. It's okay, very cool. What about you, Saikara? In the Philippines, do you have any special process to receive the money?
There's no like specific process, but like that you're supposed to do, but like something that's generally done. Like what June said, it's you have to say no first before you get it. You have It's part of being courteous and being just polite that you have to refuse the money first before you get it. And also, something that I was taught in school, since I went to a Chinese school, I was taught that you should not accept the red envelopes with one hand. You're supposed to get it with two hands because it's more polite that way, and you can't open the envelopes in front of the person who gave it to you. You save it for later, you open it by yourself. That's what I was taught in school.
Why is 2023 the year of the rabbit? What does that symbolize, and why did they choose a rabbit?
I think this is linked to the zodiac, 12 zodiac animals on the lunar calendar. So it's like 12 years or circle. So we have 12 animals to represent it. So every 12 years we'll have a year of rabbit.
So is there a reason? Is there a reason for the order of these animals as they come up in the chart? Like I know I was born in year of horse. I mean, is there also a special characteristic associated with these animals?
So, why these 12 animals? To be honest, I think it's probably kind of like just choose the animals, probably in ancient Chinese culture. Like even dragon doesn't really exist, just to, symbolize some good characters or power, like things Chinese people would like. It's probably random. But there are lots of stories behind it that we, heard since when we were a child. The version that I heard or taught in school was the Jade Emperor was selecting 12 animals for the zodiac signs for the calendar before it was created, and he asked the animals in the forest to have a race, and they need to cross the river. And what I remember the most was about the cat and rat. Why cat is not in the zodiac is because cat and rat was friends, good friends before. And so before the night before the race, the cat asked the rat, his good friend said, "Oh, I don't want to sleep over. Can you wake me up tomorrow morning for the race?" And then, of course, the rat didn't, and the rat went there and also used. They need to cross a river, which is quite hard. So every animal used their skills and everything to cross a river for the race. And rat actually eventually used the tail of the ox to. So the ox was actually at the front of the race, and then in the end, the rat jump on the tail of the ox and then jump to the first place. So that's why rat is the first in the zodiac signs, and then ox is the second. So there's a certain order the 12 animals will like cycle every 12 years. 12 years.
So the rat is the cunning one.
Yeah. So as you mentioned about every animal is kind of associated with some kind of character or personality. So rat is generally considered very clever, smart, sometimes even sneaky.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are there any rats in here today?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What's your sign, guys? What's your animal that you were born in?
I'm a rabbit, so it's my year next year.
Woohoo! So, does it mean special luck if it happens to be the same year, like the same animal year?
Unfortunately, it's the opposite. So if it's your,
Oh.
yeah, if you it's your if it's your year of so your zodiac year, and we often think it's kind of very risky and can be dangerous for you. So you need to do lots of things to, protect yourself. The most common thing that people do is to wear a red underwear or belt to scare away all the bad fortune.
So red is good fortune. Red will scare away the bad luck, just like Saikara mentioned, shouting might scare away some bad luck too. Is that why
Exactly.
everything's red? Okay.
Yeah.
So red is good luck.
Yes.
Yeah, I love all of this. So how seriously do people in your country take these characteristics? For example, if I know the story about the rat and how cunning and sneaky the rat can be, and then I meet someone and I find out their year of the rats. Do you think people would really take that seriously and maybe have a little bit of distrust towards that person initially? Or is this just kind of a fun story that people hear about these characteristics? I mean, is it something they take seriously or is it something that's just for fun?
In my experience, I don't know anybody, at least in my generation, have that kind of bias to people's zodiac signs. It's actually there some people like believe more in the Western zodiac system. And for Chinese zodiac animals, I don't think so. But parents do Like I mentioned, sometimes I hear stories about parents who wants their child to born as a pig instead of another one. Parents sometimes do that, but for friends or other scenarios, I don't think so.
Could
Thanks.
you give us an example about one of those old traditions that's pretty complicated and unusual and that you don't see people practicing as much anymore?
Yeah, of course. For me, I'm a big fan of food, and for me, the memories I have with my family celebrating Chinese New Year is always associated with the big meal, New Year's Eve dinner. We call it Nian Ye Fan. So that's the day before January the first, the last day of December on lunar calendar. So in that night, all the families gather around to cook a big feast. Everybody sit down together and eat. And my family, we always start to make food and snacks, candies, a few weeks before, and sausages as well. I love making lots of traditional New Year's food, like tea eggs, dumplings, egg dumplings, spring rolls, together with my parents. Everybody's is participating. And some young people now, they don't cook much. I think COVID kind of helped. People have to cook more. But there's some young people, they don't cook. It's so easy to get takeaways in China, and it's so cheap. So like lots of traditional food, young people don't know how to make them anymore. So in Chinese New Year, they probably just go to a restaurant to eat with some friends if they're not home with their family. Yeah, so things like that. I think it's a shame to let it get lost like that.
Yeah, everything that you just listed sounds so delicious. So I definitely hope that people will continue saving those recipes and cooking them. So, June Saikara, do you experience a difference between the old and new, the traditions, and how do you feel about the changes that you're seeing?
To be honest, I used to hear about some people say that's a traditional is when after Chinese New Year, the first month, you cannot go to do the haircut. If you go to do the haircut, your uncle will die.
That's
What? It,
true.
what? Your uncle will
Yeah.
die if you get a haircut?
If
Oh man, that would
you
scare me.
really hate your uncle, just do it.
That's bad.
Okay, that's amazing.
There are lots of
You
people
don't.
actually following that. So that's an interesting one that Junyi brought up.
So do you believe it?
Whenever I believe or not, I will just not gonna try it, so.
All right, so Saikara, what about you? Do you know any differences in that you've seen in some of the old traditions that maybe people are practicing, or are they not practicing them anymore?
I think the biggest things in Philippines when it comes to New Year, and not just Lunar New Year, would have to be eating pancit, well, which is basically like noodles, stir-fried noodles. You're supposed to eat noodles because it's supposed to lengthen your life. Like the longer the noodles, since noodles are long, they're gonna the more you once you eat them during New Year's. It is said that your life will be much longer. I don't think that's very true at all. I don't think it's true at all. But a lot of families still do it. They do incorporate noodles into the food that they're making for the New Year's. But one thing I have noticed would have to be wearing black. Older people in the Philippines, they say that you're not supposed to wear black during the New Year's, or any big event like your birthday or Christmas or a wedding. You're not supposed to wear all black, or just like a black shirt or like a black top, because it's said that you're going to get very ill from it. I have noticed like a lot, my grandparents, they tell me, don't wear black, don't buy anything black to wear for the new year because you're going to get sick afterwards. But I think with the younger people now, there are a lot of like themed parties, themed celebrations, like an all black tie party, like or Great Gatsby type of theme where they'd wear like suits and like black gowns, or just like there would be a color scheme for some groups or for just some families. And now it's being less observed because I can see like people are wearing like more darker colors during the New Year's when it's usually just, mostly brighter colors or mostly red because red is said to bring good luck.
So for Americans who want to get into this and they want to enjoy this cultural experience, I understand we're a little limited here. We have Chinatown in Chicago, which I'm sure has some great activities going on for the Lunar New Year. But do you guys have any tips for Americans who would like to, in small ways, celebrate or practice some of these quirky traditions as well, or cultural traditions for Lunar New Year this year?
Any advice, I would say just number one would be respectful. If it is something that is new to you, you shouldn't judge, be quick to judge it right away. Be very respectful with the culture that other people are teaching you because they're taking the time to teach you how to do things or to make you learn. And secondly, would just to enjoy it, and do a lot of just some type of research on it, and if you get to meet people who do celebrate it, have fun, indulge yourself in the culture, and yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, good tips.
Yeah, I totally agree with Sakara mentioned about be respectful and embrace other cultures. I think we totally, should do the same all the time. And also I wanted to add a little bit on that, like some things you could do if you're interested in Chinese culture and Chinese New Year celebration. You could try to make some of the, traditional Chinese New Year food or just Chinese food. Some of them are very, very easy to make, like dumplings. I know everybody loves dumplings, and I haven't met anyone, a Western person that doesn't like dumplings. So dumplings, you basically just need to, mix a bunch of meat, vegetables that you like, and you can get the dumpling wrappers in lots of supermarkets, not necessarily the Asian market, but definitely you could find them in Asian market, and then wrap them together. There are like so many different ways to wrap them too. You can find videos on YouTube, so easy. Tea eggs is even easier, basically just boiling eggs and then crack them and then boil them again in sauces and tea leaves and spring rolls as well. It's not super hard to make, and you have delicious food to enjoy. And Maria mentioned Chinatown. I think I really like the Chinatown in Chicago. I think it's amazing. And the restaurants here are quite authentic. The hot pot is one of my, favorite. Here I've been to a couple places so far, and they're really good. So if you like Chinese food, you could certainly go to Chinatown, explore, the different restaurants. And I know they would definitely have some celebrations or markets around Chinese New Year. And maybe dragon dance and lion dance as well at some point. I haven't searched, but I'm sure there will be something like that. And also, if you're gonna cook Chinese food, there are lots of amazing Chinese market or Asian market here in Chicago. There is a really big one that I really like. It's called 88 Marketplace, right outside of Chinatown. It's huge, and it has everything you need to cook any Chinese food. And in Chinese New Year, they will play, Chinese New Year music. It's like Christmas music, but I think it's a little bit louder and noisier. And you can, just simply to go experience that what people, do for Chinese New Year shopping and see the snacks and sauces and everything. It's pretty fun.
Big thanks to everyone for checking out our Lunar New Year episode. We hope you'll join us for the next Discover You.